following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on the Still Just Fishing Show. Oh, boy, it feels good to say that without coughing. And without feeling bad this morning, I had flu. I was pretty sick over Christmas. It was pretty bad. But back into it, ready to go, good to go.
Oh, we're playing musical chairs with our mics.
Yeah, Ted's going to keep three mics over there, and then you're just talking to the distance there.
I'm talking 3D.
There you go.
There you go, 3D.
Digital surround.
I haven't been looking at the weather that much. Of course, I always look at the weather, but I haven't been looking at it that much the past few days because, well, I was in bed, but it happens, you know. Flu shot doesn't always work, so anyway. But anyway.
Yeah, it's no fun to be sick.
No, it's not, especially Christmas, spending the day in bed. That wasn't very fun. Got up just to eat and went back to bed. But we have here, let's see. Frontal boundary will stall to the north, resulting in weak winds at the surface. Oh, wow. Weak winds.
It's going to be laid down today.
And combined with the warm and humid air mass over the Atlantic waters can result in the formation of fog today, which I didn't see any this morning on the way, but doesn't mean it's not going to form here. Approximate location of the west wall of the Gulf Stream is going to be where most of the fog is going to be, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Temperature changes. Water out there.
They're saying 61 nautical miles east of Flagler Beach is where most of the fog is going to be. So be careful if you're going out toward the stream out there.
Beware. Stay off the moors.
Today, southwest winds around 5 knots, becoming east in the afternoon, seas 3 to 5 feet, occasional seas up to 6. I wonder why it's going to be that high with from the winds the past 2 days.
And they're left over.
I know it was blowing yesterday. Tomorrow, southeast winds around 5 knots, seas 2 to 4 feet, dominant period is 9 seconds. And then Monday, south-southeast winds 10 to 15, Tuesday, south-southwest 5 to 10. And then 5 to 10 on Wednesday, either west-southwest. So little chance of showers on Wednesday, it looks like. But that's the marine forecast coming up. So hopefully you get out there and get some good fishing done this weekend. I'm always loving it whenever it has those light winds like that. So
yeah, and I'm surprised it would still be bumpy. I would have expected with it blowing like stank out of the south that it would have laid down a little quicker.
Yeah. And it did blow quite a bit yesterday, which I kept looking at it on the phone.
It did.
Off and on, the Mayport forecast was showing, I think, 6.3 feet at Mayport.
I thought this front moving across there was, like, slow.
Yeah.
I think it died on them. Even the forecasters thought that it was going to come across there quicker. And it just, like, died.
It did.
And it barely made it across there.
It looked like it was trucking until it got about to the Florida line out there near Alabama and Florida, and then kind of, bleh.
Yeah, it looks like on the radar here.
Ran out of gas.
Looks like we still got some stuff, you know, that's probably going to pass through here. It didn't even sprinkle on me on the way here, but I noticed it. Hadn't been long since it rained at my house when I left. So
you didn't get any. You got that line that came through last night,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah,
we got good rain last night.
Yeah, we got a good hard rain last night. At least about three different patches of it was pretty hard.
Yeah,
you know, but looks like we got a little bit coming this morning. So it's down there on the other side of. Well, it's just crossing 75 now. So looks like it's going to be heading this way, but. You know, the best time to go fishing is when you can, so get out there and get them while you can. That's the main thing. Especially if it's going to be cloudy out there, it might be a good good topwater day.
It's about time.
I was talking to Bill last weekend, you know, and Bill's been kind of
He was on the show.
Yeah, and he's been kind of really turned on to the topwater thing here lately, and I've been doing a lot of that, and he's been catching a lot of trout and some reds on topwater, so he's been loving it.
Great. That was a great show. Yeah. That was very entertaining. He was cracking me up.
Well, you know, you said a good time to go fishing is when you can.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, you know, I went to Crescent Lake.
Yeah, how'd y'all do?
It didn't lay down.
Oh, it didn't.
About 1:30, and we had to leave about 2:30 because we had to bring my granddaughter back. And I mean, it honked white capping out there like crazy, and it was north and northwest. Mm. It was shifting around. So if you went down on the end where Dead Lake is, you thought you could get out of that north wind on that north bank.
Yeah.
Then it would shift west, and then it would blow us over there. So there was really, I couldn't find a place out of it.
I thought maybe right there around, you know, Dead Lake and Crescent Lake were to come together. I thought maybe you could find you a little place in there, like, you know where that creek,
that's where I was.
You know where that creek goes off of Dead Lake, goes way up in here, and I don't even know which direction it is now.
But leads you back in there to Dead Lake, that little creek back in there.
Well, you can as you go into Dead Lake, there's a creek on the right
on
too.
The right.
Where Dead Lake turns left, you know, and goes up in there. There's a creek on the right down there, and I know I did a TV show with Jim Hammond in there one time that we went way up in that creek, you know, and we had to do that because of the wind. You know, so we went way up in there and kind of got out of the wind up in there.
It was cold. I couldn't feel my hands. They were numb. And anyway, I saw fish on the depth finder and they're hanging around structure, but they just would not bite. I tried plastics, trolling. I tried jigging them. I tried live minnows and even letting the wind blow us across there. Because usually when you get the drift going, that the waves in the water bounce that cork, and it gives a little action to the minnows down it. Wouldn't touch it, and I could see them on the fish finder. They were there, and the schools of them wouldn't touch them.
What depth were they at?
They were in about 5 foot.
Oh, really?
They were just off. Well, it's pretty deep on that side of the north side of that end of the lake.
Is there pads or any other kind of structure?
Yeah, we fished the lily pads. We fished the down trees, dropping minnows in there.
Did you turn your depth finder off and see if that would
No, I
help?
Didn't.
Oh.
No, because I didn't see very many. That was the only side that I saw the fish at. They was on that side.
How many did y'all get?
None.
I
got three bites and lost them when I was bringing them in. They come off.
Wow. Yeah, I know they got some real soft mouths. Yeah,
he got me, though. He sent me a picture of his previous trip.
Yeah, I saw that.
I went.
That's what I was saying.
Well, I had to show you that I do know how to catch them.
Yeah,
you know?
I went for that like a toad fish after a mud minnow there, brother. I was like,
I know. I'm like, there's some nice ones in there, man. But that was a previous trip. Was that the same place?
No, that was at Loch Lusa.
Oh, okay.
And I just had some green and pink plastic on a beetle spin. I had about four rods out drifting past the motor, you know, the motor kickback, you know, from the motor.
Yeah, your prop wash.
Yeah. And I would, every time I went by this one spot, boom, every rod went off. And it was like I was holding one under my arm and holding one out here trying to get them in, you know. I loaded up and got my limit. You saw how big those were.
Yeah, they were nice ones there. So that's why I was saying, how many did you wind up getting? Because
I saw
that picture too, Chris.
Yeah. Did you see that one crappie? He looked like he had half a well full of minnows in his gut, man. He was like bugged out.
I had to show you. I could catch him, you know. Anyway, it was pretty bad.
You know, you got to get down there and do it again.
Yeah.
And it might have been the wind. It might have been the low pressure. You never know, you know. But anyway, 222-8255 is the number to call us. And we got Ted Hartman and Chris Nichols here, so give us a call. And we'll be back after this.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories. Performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day. Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fishing Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600. Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder. Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning talking about the old reels we used to use and the old zip codes and stuff, you know, growing up like that. But my dad, as much as he fished, I mean, he could throw a bait caster, you know, but he liked those zip codes, 808s. And, he'd throw lures on it. It was just wild to watch him, you know. And I always liked open face spinners, you know, and I got my first one. I don't know how old I was, but I was pretty young, you know, when he got me an open face spinner, and I just fell in love with it. But, you know, looking at the reels and all he used to use, I still got them, you know, the little pin 109s and stuff. I've got, you know, my mom's rod and reel and everything.
Yeah, I've got one of those. Those are nice. Yeah. Solid. I mean, well made stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the pin made a 9M and a 109 like that.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm telling you what, they're there's some bulletproof stuff.
Mm-hmm. Man, they were hard forever. To beat. You know, they were hard to beat. I don't, you know, the only thing I remember my dad ever doing to those reels was replacing the paw in the thing. Yeah. You know, I don't even know if he ever replaced the worm gear in it.
You remember?
No, I haven't. I've had this one a long time, and I've never done anything to it.
Do you recall they had a spare paw right in the side plate that you could back out if it busted on you or messed up?
Yeah, you could just
up?
Pull that little pot and pop it right there. It came with a spare, you know? Yeah.
I know. And I'm telling you, I know there's a whole lot of, you know, carbon fiber exotic stuff now, but I'm telling you, pen reels for the longest time.
Oh, they've been here forever.
My goodness. They make some solid stuff.
You know, what you don't hear too much of anymore, which was a lot of times, you know, people had them, and that my first spinner was a Mitchell. And, you know, Mitchell had some real good spinners.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you don't see those anymore.
That 302, I think that Mitchell 302 was one of the first real heavy weapons, you know, to go take it, because you could had a monster spool on it. You could load it up. I knew guys that would load that 302 up with 30-pound mono and just go fish snapper, you know.
Yeah.
Snapper around the bridges with it, because just clip a piece of the line off of it. There was your leader. If you got snagged, you didn't have to worry about losing your whole rig, you know.
Yep.
And, man.
I had one fishing pole when I was about 12 or 13, my brother and I used to go down to, we lived in Clearwater, and there's a bridge that crossed over to the beach out there, but we fished around the bridge all the time. And this old bait caster was so rusted up, we didn't know how to clean it or lube it, and it just would squeal when you try to, and it wouldn't go 8 feet. And what I'd do is I'd walk down the beach with the sinker, and my brother was holding the pole, and it was going, wee! And then I'd walk back with the sinker and throw it as far as I could throw it. And these two ladies felt bad for us one day and brought us to a little tackle box with two little Zebco 202s.
Oh, really? Yeah,
one day I'll never forget it. They backed their car up there where we were at and opened the trunk and gave us all this tackle and the fishing poles. But that was the best day of our life then.
Wasn't that something? The stuff you used to do as kids, just because of your passion for fishing, you would just do stuff like that, and you just did what you could do and had fun doing it.
Yeah.
See, with the bridge, you can just drop it down. You didn't have to cast it, but from the bank, you had to cast.
Yeah, beach fishing or bank fishing.
It wasn't no casting that reel.
Yeah.
Reminds me of my first boat. It was a tender, a dory, you know, not a dory, but a dinghy.
Yeah.
Just fiberglass dinghy with two oars. And we had a anchor and just row on out to a nav aid that wasn't too far away. This is way back when, and nobody ever hassled us. I mean, I know you're not supposed to tie off the nav aids, but, you know, we'd get close to it. If we couldn't anchor up, we'd kind of tie off to it. But we just rowed right out. It wasn't very far, and made sure we didn't get in any high current areas.
Yeah, it was funny. Now, we used to take, and there was this friend of mine that lived out off of Hector Drive, and go out there sometimes, and we would take and row his boat. They had a little old John boat. I think it was something like probably 10 foot at the most, you know. And we would paddle that thing up into the creek, and I mean paddling against the current to go up in a creek for low tide fishing. And then, of course, you know, we'd show you how much brains we had. We had to paddle on the incoming tide back out, you know, so we're always paddling against the current. Of course, we were in a lot better shape than I am now, but even as a kid. But, I mean, to be able to do that, you know, and go up there and fish when you want to fish, but it was like, you know, we only had so much time that we could fish. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do, like you said.
Exactly. You just did whatever you could do and had fun doing it.
I always loved that shallow water fishing. See, my dad's boat wouldn't get up in the shallows. You know, I mean, it wasn't a big boat to go offshore or nothing in, but it sure didn't go in shallow water like, you know, like they have boats now, you know. I mean, he had old glass bar deep, Deep V glass par. I don't know if y'all remember that brand or not.
Oh, yeah.
Big old closed bow, you know, the windshield on it. And
yeah,
all
that's what I got. My son's got one, and I have it at the house to redo it.
Oh, yeah.
I took the little cover off the bow of it, and we're going to start stripping it and repainting it.
Mm-hmm.
And put that back on and put the little windshield back on there.
I always tried to talk my dad into putting a hole up in the front, you know, like they had in some boats where you could go underneath. Because we had to, because we would have to crawl over the windshield to get on the bow of the boat to tie it off to the cleat.
Yeah.
We only had one cleat on the thing on the front, you know, and it's like you couldn't reach it from the back, you know, from behind the windshield.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, you know, watching my dad, he couldn't swim a lick. He could not. I mean, even though he was on the water all the time, could not swim a lick, you know. And so anyway, he always had, you know, had me go over the windshield and get up there. But I remember being in Nassau Sound and the waves come over the bow of that boat and over the windshield. We'd have to duck down behind the windshield. Man, we'd go up there and fish in Simpson's Creek sometime at the mouth of Simpson's Creek. And then, of course, the wind would come up or something. You'd come out of Simpson's Creek, like heading back toward Nassau Sound there. Woo, man.
I guess that is a good point of having that cover on there. The water just kind of runs off before it goes into the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why when they came out with that tri-hull with the walk-through windshield, man, that was suddenly, a fishing machine there.
Well, that was my first boat. I had a 16-foot bow rider. And like you say, you just open the windshield and step up there, you know.
Yep.
And that was good because then, you know, you get to the cleat, you had the anchor and all that up there, you know, and everything. But I remember one time my dad had the anchor rope tied to, there was these big old braces on the back of the seat. It was a bench seat, but it was low in the middle where you could step over and then sit on the front seat. But the brackets that for the back of the seat to the side of the boat, that's where you had the end of the anchor rope. So whenever you let the anchor out, in case, you know, it slipped out of your hand or whatever, at least it was tied to the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got in some hard current one day, and that anchor grabbed and just about pulled the side of the boat off. And my dad was, you know, lucky enough, we were lucky enough that my dad could think real quick, and he grabbed a knife and cut the anchor rope, you know, loose right there. But from that point on, never tied it there anymore. I mean, that thing had the boat cracking. I mean, it was just because the current, it was like right in the middle of the boat, in the side of the boat, you know.
Yeah, isn't it funny how things that scare you, you never forget that lesson.
Man, I mean, I was so glad that he had a sharp knife right there and ready to go, you know.
He's got this little weird looking thing that's kind of shaped like this. The rope goes through, and the cleat actually is mounted on that cover near the front, near the back of it.
There you go.
And then the rope goes through that and down off the bow, the point of the bow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just pull the anchor up from till it hits that guide.
Yeah.
That rope guide, I guess, is what it is.
Has it got a roller?
No roller.
No roller?
No.
So you don't have no chain on the anchor then, huh?
No. Mm-hmm. It's a small one. It's probably 12, maybe 14 foot at the most.
The boat.
Yeah, little aluminum boat.
Yeah,
I'm gonna strip it and then repaint it, and then put some that top back on there, rivet it back on.
Yeah,
but it looks like a pretty good little project.
I always wanted to have that hole in front of the boat where you just could go down, you know, in the bow and pop up through there, and then you could do whatever you wanted to do, you know. But I didn't like in rough water. We were fishing the jetties, and I had to get out on, you know, crawl over the top of that windshield.
Ain't nothing to hold on to up there.
No, nothing. And you can't hold on to that windshield.
No.
Oh, boy, you hold on to that windshield. My dad slapped your hand so hard. Because you know it would break, you know. I mean, that windshield would give. There's no braces or nothing. It was just a big old windshield.
Remember some of the first aluminum fiberglass boats had the two tail fins look like a 57 Chevy.
I
remember those. Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah, that was slick.
Yep.
Those are nice. I love the 57.
I wonder what they were. Yeah, that was Bel Air. They had those big fins sticking up there. 57 Bel Air.
Yeah.
But it's so strange. I don't know what they called those boats, but, you know. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump and the Democrats are trading blame for the partial government shutdown once again. They're doing little serious talking, though, with each other as the disruption goes into another weekend. The president is threatening to close the border with Mexico to press Congress to give them money he's been requesting for a border wall. Democrats say they'll pass a bill to reopen government when they take control of the House and that they will provide no funding for the president's sought-after border wall. Authorities say the man suspected of gunning down a California policeman has been arrested while preparing to flee to his native Mexico. A two-day statewide manhunt came to an end on Friday with the arrest of Gustav Perez Arriaga at a Bakersfield, California home. He's expected to be charged with killing Corporal Ronil Singh, a 33-year-old Newman, California police officer, was shot after stopping a suspected drunken driver. This is SRN News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you.
877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This Sunday, Jacksonville Jaguars face the Houston Texans. Broadcast starts 12:45 p.m.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
Hey, this is Anita Hiles with Rapid Fire Real Estate, and I have some fantastic news. Effective January 2019, we are moving to prime time. That's right, we will be live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. I will be ready for your commute home. So you want to tune in, because we will still bring you the latest trends in Jacksonville and keep you updated on what's happening around the area. Each week, we'll have different professionals, whether it be a lawyer, a lender, or anyone in between. Rapid Fire Real Estate, live every Wednesday at 5 p.m.
Are you searching for a church where the music and the message are God-honoring? Do you want to hear expository preaching with verse-by-verse presentation of God's Word? If you have said yes to these questions, then you are invited to worship at First Conservative Baptist Church, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, just 1 mile south of I-295. Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor, founder, invites you to worship.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Well, as you're looking good this morning, no delays to encounter. As for the weather, well, a little bit of rain, nothing too much to worry about. 30% chance of showers. Cloudy today, might go about 75. 20% chance of rain tonight. Some patchy fog overnight, mostly cloudy, down to 64. And then mostly cloudy both Sunday and Sunday night, with a high tomorrow, 78. It's currently 64, right here at AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. Yeah, talking about mobile boats and motors and stuff like that. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That island, mm-hmm. that boat that my pop's wooden boat pulled up to, that island got blown away during Hurricane Donna. And
oh, wow.
When Hurricane Donna hit Miami, mm-hmm. Keys back in early 60s. Yeah.
That was funny that they had those boats like that had handles on the back, you know, because that's what you just pick the boat up, you know, the handles on it.
Yeah, one of my other pictures, I got a picture of one of his small wooden boats like that up in the back of a Chevy station wagon, and that's where the handles come in handy for pulling it out of the back of the car. Yeah. Little wooden pram. He used to build them. He was good building wood boats.
That's funny.
I was talking with my granddaughter. She likes to fish those little ponds.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, my son says she fishes just about every day. She'll go at these little ponds out there around their neighborhood and just fish those ponds all the time. She loves fishing them ponds. Catch them bass. And I used to carry a little plastic boat around and just throw it in the back of the truck, slide it in the water. And then a little electric kicker on there, you can run around that whole little pond with
it.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, farm ponds, when I'd get spending summers with my grandfolks up in out in the country in Maryland, that's all we had up there was those farm ponds, and they were loaded with bream and bass.
Yeah.
And we used to, my grandma, bless her soul, she was the only woman I know that had ever cut up my fish for me. So I'd come with a stringer of brim all the way from my nose down to the ground, and she'd say, "Give me those, Christopher. Go wash up for dinner." And the next thing I know, all them brim are piled up on a big turkey platter in the middle of the table. Man, when my grandma was around, I never had to cut up a single fish. She took care of all that. She's like, you know, and I couldn't go fishing until I'd go down and weed her kale. Grandma, can I go fishing? Not until you go weed my kale. And so I'd go take care of the garden chores, and then I was out of there with my little solid fiberglass rod and my little push button. My little push button 202, yeah.
I tell you, those little 202s and 404s, those were some great reels, because we used to use those, like you're talking about, when speckled perch fishing and all. Whenever we'd fish the lily pads, we'd use cane poles, you know.
That's what Gail used to do.
And my dad'd get the boat going, you know, a little bit of momentum going or whatever, and just turn the boat off. And we'd cruise up in about 15, 20 feet up into the lily pads, you know, and then just sit there and, you know, fish right around, you know, placing them here and there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. It's in the back of the station wagon.
That's mama, right? That's my mama right there next to her. Yeah. Next to that Chevy wagon. And you see that little wood boat jammed in the back of that wagon?
Is that old Johnson motor?
Let me see.
Might have to blow it up to see, you know.
It looks like an Evinrude.
Yeah.
Evinrude guy right there now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So
there's the handles you were talking about.
Yeah. The handles on the back. Yeah. They were actually like screen door handles is what they remind me of. Yeah. You know, really, they did.
I might put some on this one I'm trying to restore. That'd be good, easy to get it off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because you figure there's little, you know, the little, I forget what they call them now, you know, the things they got on the back of the boats now where you tie your ski ropes or whatever.
Right.
To, you know, yeah, or you tie your straps to the trailer or whatever.
Little eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't pick nothing up with that.
No, you can get about two fingers in there. Yeah, you're not lifting much with that.
Dislocate your fingers.
So maybe a cup of coffee.
But like you're talking about, that's a little boat like you're talking about. That might be a perfect thing to go in the back of.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
You know?
Yeah, and I love those old boats. They're still making some boats that have the transom kind of curves in.
Yeah.
And it's wider at the very bottom of the boat than it is at the top. Just like that.
Yeah.
They're still making boats with that style on them.
Yeah.
What's the purpose for that? I've never figured that out. Usually you want them kind of like this, not bowl shaped.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but
it might have had something to do with stability or something. I mean, there's just no telling, you know, but
can't see the purpose in the design other than for aesthetics.
Mostly because the boats back then, your widest part of the beam of the boat a lot of times was forward of what you call amidships, and it would taper back toward the back there. And I think that whole design was supposed to be fast in the water, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah. You know, that motor on it was fast.
Yeah. Yeah. That little plywood pram. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that five horse on it looks like.
Yeah, if you look at it, it looks like it's definitely powered up.
But, you know, those are the good old times, though. You talk about, you know, fishing when we was growing up and everything. I mean, golly, I remember taking, you know, our rods and reels and stuff during the summertime. We're out of school, and we'd run down to the park at the end of Pearl Street. That's right there in North Shore area. Mm-hmm. And there's that city park right there. It had a bunch of rocks there and everything, and we'd fish right there. I mean, we wouldn't catch nothing but pinfish. Sometimes, you know, croakers, little small croakers and stuff like that. But, you know, every once in a while you get out there and you'd have something to spool you. And, of course, you know, the big one always got away, you know. And it was probably a big old red or something, you know, right there in Trout River like that.
Yeah.
But, it was so fun as a kid growing up, being able to just, you know, learn, you know, go out there and figure stuff out for yourself and everything. Of course, you know, we learned a lot from the parents and everything, you know, that taught us. But, I mean, my dad, he loved to fish, whether it's freshwater or saltwater, didn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
And I know going to either, you know, Lock Lusa or Crescent Lake down there in Dead Lake, Lake George, you know, we didn't never do as good in Lake George, but Crescent Lake, Dead Lake. I mean, we really, man, caught some real nice speckled perch in that lake.
I know the lake that well, and that was another downfall to it.
Mm-hmm.
I know Lock Lusa very well. I've fished that for a long time, but I've never fished Crescent. And so trying to find the structure, is a lot of time just, you know, running the lake, just trying to get the feel of where things were, where the structures are.
Well, and you went down there on a really windy day. That's not really good. You know, it's not very conducive to catching fish like that. You know, especially, you know, speckled perch. I mean, it's not like you want a little ripple on the water if you're drifting like that, but you don't, you know, you don't want the boat rocking like crazy, you know.
Well, the trolling motor wouldn't even hold it. You know, I don't want to troll more than probably a mile and a half, an hour, you know.
Oh, yeah, very slow.
And so the wind would catch one end of the boat and spin it around, and the trolling motor was sitting there. You know that I got the new trolling motor that and it was sitting there going, spinning around and around, trying to keep the boat going, and it was a mess.
Couldn't. So what trolling motor did you get?
That Rodan.
They did get the Rodan. The
80-pound high-definition anchor.
Yeah.
I love that, and it says it right on it.
Now, does it hold fast like a motor guide? It doesn't, from what I understand, it won't drift off like a Minn Kota.
Right. It stays right there.
Yeah, yeah, when we anchored up, when it anchored us, we didn't go nowhere.
Yeah.
We just stayed right there in pretty good current, too.
Matt said with that 80-pound thrust, with that particular Rodan, he said, I guarantee you can ski behind it. And he ain't lying.
He wouldn't kid.
Some thrust to push that 19-foot polar around it.
Well, and I had one of my customers, matter of fact, called me last night, and Josh called me last night asking about that because he's thinking about getting a Rodan. And I was sure that you had gotten one and, you know, that you had really liked it and everything. I had another friend of mine get one, and from Matt, and he said he loves it. And he, instead of getting a 36 volt, he got a 24.
That's what I got.
And that way he didn't have to change his charger, didn't have to have an extra battery on board, stuff like that, you know.
Well, I don't think you could get any more batteries in mine, but Matt found a way to get them in there. So I got two for cranking and the electronics, and then two for the trolling motor. So I don't know how he got that many batteries in there, but he managed. And it's in there neat, too.
He can work wonders.
Yeah,
man.
It's in there neat.
That's good, man. It's a and so yours is 80-pound thrust.
80-pound.
From what I understand, that's equals to a lot more than 80-pound
about 100-pound. Not the Minn Kota, but the motor guide.
Yeah,
yeah.
Had me going, where in the world is that jet ski? I hear him, but I can't see him. And that was like, that's that motor cranking. I was like, Man, it's strong.
It does make a little more noise, though, when in the current.
Yeah.
Well, what I like about it, too, it's got that coating on it. Yeah, it comes with that, that rubberized coating on the motor.
It's pretty tough.
We'll be back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterwards? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423, and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
Let y'all decide.
Okay. That sounds good.
Talking about a seminar.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that on Saturday if that works out with him.
Sure.
It's probably going to be easier to do that when, you don't have as many people working. Of course, I don't know. A lot of people fish on Saturdays, too. But, you could do it, like, on Saturday afternoon, late afternoon, early evening, something like that, if he wanted to. But we'll talk with him.
Yeah, he's got a big old barn in the back. He does a lot of stuff out there in there. He has these women get together, and they have these little craft arts and crafts that meet out there every so often, maybe once a month, I think. Mm-hmm. And they make all these crafts, and they'll have like 40, 50 people out there.
Oh, wow.
Gosh. It's a pretty big barn.
My wife would love that. She's into the craft thing, let me tell you.
Yeah, because once you start going to stuff like that and you see how talented some of these people are, you know, you just want to go back and see what they've come up with next.
Well, I guarantee you David will put on a good good host.
My wife used to make all these little Easter baskets for kids all around, and, you know, she'd make them have a half a rabbit where rabbits hold onto the basket and rabbit she used to make those things.
And I mean, just all kinds of creativity.
She can look at something and go, oh yeah, I could do this with it.
Well, you know, the church, they have these painting things. My wife started painting these. She painted a lighthouse and all that. She did a good job on that. I don't know if it's kind of similar to those sheephead that I won at the last year tournament. That lady that does the paintings, they just do it just like that. They take the little canvas on a canvas like that, and they paint flowers and fish and bowls and all. Gail just loves it.
Yeah, that was somebody in the club did that, and you want to.
Yeah, talk about this.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about the El Cheapo Sheephead Tournament.
Did a captain?
Go ahead. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, Captain Rob Darner gave us a little bit of 411 when we were at the last Jack's Offshore Sport Fishing Club meeting on the 20th. And the El Cheapo is a go for March the 9th, and that's at Mayport, Florida. The entry fee is $100 per boat until February 17th. After that, I believe it goes up just a tad. But the boats that they're giving away for the winners are really nice. They've got a first prize is a 2019 Carolina Skiff JVX18 center console with a Suzuki 4-stroke and a Magic Tilt trailer. And that's a fine rig if you want to get into fishing. Second place is another Carolina Skiff JV14 boat with a Suzuki, also with a Suzuki 4-stroke and a Magic Tilt trailer. So two first and second place are boats. So you can.
What's the second place size on it?
14. JV14.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about an 18-foot boat on that first one, that's for $100. You know, entry fee, you can't beat that, man, for price.
Yeah, because you got the whole shooting match, boat, motor, trailer, rail.
Yeah, even the 14, I mean, for $100 entry fee.
Yeah.
I like the 14.
Yeah, and you know, the Carolinas, I mean, they come ready to roll. I mean, they're ready to fish.
Yeah.
So, which is real important. A lot of people, you know, might see a boat, oh, I love this boat. Then you start breaking it down and looking at the boat, and what has it got to fish? I mean, it doesn't have all the basic amenities that you need in there for fishing. But anyway, this is the largest sheephead tournament in the world. And if you want more information and want to register online, go to www.elcheapojacks.com. That's one word, elcheapojacks, elcheapojax.com. And you can get registered in there, and it's going to be over $100,000 in prizes. So what we mentioned, there's a whole lot more.
I'd like to mention that there's a lot of giveaways and stuff like that.
Raffles.
Now that's March the 2nd, right?
March the 9th.
Oh, March the 9th. Okay. I thought it was going to be the first full weekend in March, but okay. March the 9th. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, and it's hosted by the Jacksonville Offshore Sport Fishing Club there at Mayport. And
of course, the captain's meeting will be March the 8th then. at Mayport Boat Ramp.
Yeah, it's normally like a it's a tournament, but it's almost gotten to the point where it's like a festival. You can come out there and have some of the finest plate of fried fish had.
Yeah,
fish, hush puppies, fries, fried sheep's head, because the sheeps that are coming out of the water, they're going right over to the cutting table. After they get through the weigh-in, they're going through the prep work, and they're being dunked into grease. And, man, I'm telling you what, it's awesome. Some of the best-eating stuff you ever taste.
Yeah, they do a great job there. And I mean, that is some good food, too. And you can't get it any fresher. I mean, caught that day and ate that day.
Chris was cooking that. You was cooking that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I've been working the tent for the past 2 years, and it's something. It's really something.
Let's get Rob on here for a minute. He's been patiently waiting.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, guys. Hello, hello.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
Rob, we got you.
We got you. We just thought you were going to start talking. I'm sorry.
It's not like I'm a chatty Cathy or anything.
Hey, Rob. Rob, this is Chris. I wanted to say I was with you yesterday listening to you. I was right there with you, and I'm on your side about that shark issue you called in about yesterday.
Well, you know, I think the new shark regulations are there to appease the anti-surf fishing group.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ones that try to shut down surf fishing on the East Coast and put a ban on this and a ban on that.
Well, that meeting that we went to, Chris and Ted and I went to the meeting that they had here, and you can kind of see what happens when people talk about the squeaky wheel gets the grease. There was a lot more people there that was against, I would say, against shark fishing than there was for it. Mm-hmm. And that's what is such a shame about these meetings.
They're an organized group of activists, Rob, and they show up in force.
Yeah, all they have to do is call and say, look, they're having a meeting, and you know, we need to get protest, and they can get the numbers where, you know, fishermen are like, man, it's just another meeting. And then and then this is what happens, you know. You get the new rules, you know, kind of shoved down your throat.
And just between me and you, Rob, I mean, the feeling I got at the meeting from the body language, the agenda, and the content within the agenda, a lot of all this stuff is predisposed. They are patronizing us. We're going to these meetings because we want to get our 2 cents worth in, but our 2 cents worth, how much is it really going to matter when all this stuff has been predetermined and they have an agenda, and all they're doing is patronizing us by having a meeting, thinking it's keeping it above table, when they've already made a decision on what they're going to do. They're going to do the shotgun approach. They're going to send out so many rules and regulations, and then they have to determine which ones are enforceable.
Gotcha.
Well, the big thing, Rob, is, you know, I mean, when we was having the RFA rallies and stuff, you know, and we'd have 270 people, 350 people show up, things like that, you know, that's what you need at one of these meetings. You need to be able to get there and drown out these other people.
If you can, carry me through the break.
I'll do it. Okay.
All right. Thanks for hanging on, Rob. I'd like to talk some more.
Yeah, I'll put you on hold, Rob, get you back on. But see, that's the big thing to me is we need to be able, you know, to drown them out like they're drowning us out. So anyway, I put Rob on hold, and we'll be back right after this.